And it is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight is going to be a fun night. We have a very delightful author with a very delightful book. And the book is called How to Get Your Man, the Slam Dunk Formula to Getting the Love of Your Life. And our author tonight is Sally Huss. Welcome, Sally.
Thank you. It's nice to be on with you.
It's going to be a fun show, I think. So
it's a good subject.
it's a great subject. People tend to like this subject a lot.
Yes, especially now when things are a little bit cooler in the atmosphere. I think people are looking for some warmth.
I think that's a good possibility for sure. So why don't we talk a little bit about your journey? Because your journey is really how you sort of got started in this. So let's talk about how you got to where you are now.
Got my particular life that I have. Well, is that what you mean?
Yeah, like part of the journey. I mean, your book, it talks about, you know, how you sort of started with the affairs of the heart, which really you had no interest in a long-term relationship. So kind of, you know, what brought you to where you are?
Yes, that was certainly the way I was when I was in my 20s, and I had a lot of wonderful relationships and I had been a tennis pro, a touring pro, professional tennis player, and I toured and traveled and did a lot of interesting things, met wonderful people, but as I got older, I finally decided that I wanted something other than just fun romance. And so that's how I determined exactly what I wanted. I had to determine what I wanted after all these relationships and these kinds of things that I was doing. I finally said, okay, time's up on all this. I want the love of my life now. And I don't know how I knew to do it, because I didn't have any particular outside influence, books or The Secret or those kinds of things. I just knew that if I focused on what I really wanted and put it down in a certain way, that the sun, I always identified with the sun and looked to the sun as a very powerful being. And if I wrote my letter to the sun, which represented the universal consciousness, whatever, but if I wrote my letter to the sun would know, and that would put what I really wanted out there and bring back to me exactly what I wanted. So it was a matter of having a lot of experiences first, and then through that, sifting down and figuring out exactly what I wanted in my life.
Right.
And how I wanted to change it.
Right. And, I mean, at one point, you were a tennis champion. And
yes.
I mean, that was your life beginning part
from
of your life.
From the age of 10, my father and I determined that I would be champion of the world, you know. Tennis, it was a pretty awesome goal. But I became junior champion of the world. I won Wimbledon Juniors and the U.S. Juniors and all that. And then I was a semifinalist in the women's division at 21.
Right.
Or at 19, actually.
Nice.
And so I had that.
And
so
then
I knew about goals.
Yes. And so that, I guess that was probably a way for you to focus your energy and attention. So you learned how to do that at an early age.
Yes, I did. And as I say, once I wrote my letter and wrote my letter to the sun and created that focus, and then I prepared myself. That was the other thing, was to get ready. You know, mm-hmm. I was, I'd really been anorexic and without any doctor mentioning that to me. I was one of those thin people, as many of us had been trained to be by the surroundings that we saw at that time. And I looked in the mirror and I said, this is not good, you know, men like curves. And so I started bulking up a little bit, and I, got my little apartment all in order, and I got my clothes in order, and even shopped for the dress that I wanted to be married in.
Wow.
And it was like it was done. And that's the concept I had, was that once I figured out what I wanted, it was set. It was set because it was set in my heart, in my mind. And once it was set, it was like a pattern that the universe then filled in. I think a lot of people don't realize that what we walk around in is the past, is our past thinking. Mm. What we walk around in, and the secret is not to respond to that, and it's not to be worried about that, but just to continue with whatever that golden image you have of how you want to be, how you want to, how and be in that feeling of what you want to be, what you want to create. And that's what I did. Mm-hmm. I was even writing little books all the time, and I, you know, end up writing books and doing little drawings that went with these little books. And there were images of a woman with a man, and geez, my hair, pretty soon my hair was looking exactly like the one in the picture that I was painting. So I was really painting pictures
right
in my mind and visually and then it came to be.
And you sort of got into, you focused, you were very focused as in tennis, and then you got focused on how you wanted to be. But prior to that, it seems that you kind of got a spiritual connection.
Yes, I was fortunate enough. Well, first of all, I nearly destroyed myself through, being too thin, being whatever like that. And fortunately, I was doing some dance therapy work, which was great fun. And the woman there sent me to a very wise man, a great healer and doctor and homeopath. And he was connected to very more evolved, more spiritually inclined people. And that's where I would just kind of sit there like a little fly on the wall and listen and be absorbed and be knowing of what they were saying was absolute truth. And that was much more interesting. So I took a sort of a spiritual trip, mm-hmm. with a lot of meditating and things, but I went from the champion's effort to now a spiritual trip. And did that for a while,
and then
kind of got back into real life.
Yeah, a little bit before the time of most of the people on now. I mean, you kind of were like a pioneer, really.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, fortunately, people are come to realizations in their own time,
yeah.
And so people are on different paths and different levels, but we're all here on the same planet at the same time, so it's very interesting to see where everyone is.
Yes,
but go in your own way.
Was it challenging to be at that time? Because I mean, you really being one of the pioneers, you know, we find it difficult these days. So if you were doing it, you know, years before we even got started, it must have been. I mean, the energy is so different now than it was then. So.
Oh my gosh! Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Well, you know, the Beatles and all those people at that point, they brought in certain energies.
Absolutely.
And I can't remember what the other group, there was another group that was very ethereal and all that. And they brought the sounds and the words in and the thoughts in for a lot of people at that time.
Right.
But all of that can go up or can go down. And a lot of it has fallen downward now.
Mm.
And yet there's a great, I think there's a great energy and surge now for spiritual. People are really seeing the worthlessness of chasing material, material success.
Yeah.
And really focusing on what is important in their own lives and what we take with us.
Right.
You know, we take so little with us. And certainly nothing material. So, anyway, I happen, as I say, I just happened to be with these very wise people and a great mystic who was out in a hidden master, and that was great to be with such a person at a young age, at my young age.
Yeah, I mean, it must have been amazing, actually. I mean, to be a part of that time, because it really was the bringing in of the new age. It was.
Yes, yes. And even there, the predictions and the words that these people spoke and the things that they had to say about where the humanity was at that time and the direction. And as I say, that was very eye-opening to me, but most interesting. It was the most interesting thing in my life, and that's all that I was interested in at that point until I realized. And it seems like one gathers some information, gathers something, then you have to live with it. You have to live with those truths that you've learned, and then get another dose, you know.
Yeah.
and then you kind of have to, you know, let it sink into your life and express it and manifest it and do all the things. So,
yeah.
Well,
I think it's amazing that you were able to, at that time, acknowledge, I guess, the power of the sun. But I think for you, the sun was the universe. For you, you know, when you think of the sun, it represents the universal source energy. And
right.
You said that you live by its grace.
Right. It's the only representation that we have of the Lord, say. It is the, we live by its grace. We absolutely live by its grace, and yet day in and day out, we make no acknowledgement of that. And so it's, you know, if you read any of the Ivanov work, who's a great spiritual master, Mikhail Ivanov, out of Bulgaria and France, he's now passed on, but his books are so, they're for everybody, but they're very deep. And once you read them, you say, oh, yes, this is the best book I've ever read. But he is really a solar master. And to be in communication with the sun, to go out and greet the sun in the morning, and to receive the very subtle energies that the sun releases, and ask the sun to cleanse and purify your life and show you direction and that sort of thing is a huge help. Many people want to contemplate the setting sun, but in reality, we should not focus on the setting sun because it gathers the dirt and the things from the day, all the in stuff from the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And that takes with it, the setting sun takes that. But in reality, we should focus on the rising sun. And if we can greet that and greet those ethers and take those very subtle energies into our lives, and it really is helpful. Anything is helpful these days.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so that's a very interesting point. So when we're thinking of writing the letter to the sun, and you say to place it where the sun will grace it, so that you're thinking then of the sun where it rises versus where it sets. So that's an important thing to think of.
Yes, and that's what I know the sun was all-knowing. So I, you know, you can write the letter to God, you can write the letter to universal consciousness or infinite intelligence, whatever the words that are that represent spirit to you. And but I wrote to the sun, and I like to put this letter whenever I'm doing a sun letter, you know, doing to manifest something, to make a change in my life or whatever it is, I put that letter, and I like to put it where the sun can see it if possible, as long as there's nobody else walking by and can look at it, because I don't want any thought forms on it. Uh-uh. I want it pure, and I don't want any negativity or anything else. So I put it where the sun could see it if possible. It's not necessary, but I like the idea of the sun being able to see the letter.
Sure.
It goes out into the ethers, and then it's very surprising how quickly, you know, that comes back, and those directions come back, and those opportunities.
Yes.
You know, as I say, once I decided what I wanted, it was very curious how I had three offers of marriage in that very year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you were very specific. I mean, you started your letter. This is a thing I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I want somebody who's tall, dark, and handsome. I want somebody who, you know, makes a lot of money, or they forget that, and then they get somebody who's not unemployed. but, you know, when we're wanting to be clear, I mean, I like what you've written, because most of what you start with, you explain it later, but you start with a quality, such as...
Yes, what are the qualities do you want in the person that you want to be with in your life? You know, what are the qualities? The superficial things are superficial, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But to have a good person, I really wanted a good person. I wanted a loving person and a kind person. And it was nice that he would be athletic, because I was athletic, you know, and he liked children and liked family and all those things. And, you know, And I was never put off by the circumstances that presented themselves around this person that I met. I just, when he arrived in my life, he was actually a married man with three children.
Mm.
But he was the man, and that was it. So it took about 2 years for that all to rechange, change its, wasn't right. anything, if I went after that particular person or anything like that. It was just that it was set up, and I knew it was beyond my design. It was my wish, but not my design.
Right. So when you're thinking of the qualities, I found it interesting that you would expand on them. So, yes, you want him loving, but what does loving mean to you? And then so you went through a list of the things that loving meant to you. And, you want somebody who's kind. Well, what did that mean to you? So it's not just enough to say, I want somebody loving, but to actually put more thought and expression into it. To
what it
really
means to you and what that really feels like.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So that's what I did, and then I said, as I say, I got ready, and
I got
myself
important
ready.
Too.
But I knew, and then I thought, the other thing is that I thought about our life together and how we would live. And to me, it was like he was on a trip. He was not, he was just away on a trip, and it's coming towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And because if you have a desire for someone or something in your life, that someone is looking for you. You couldn't want that person in your life without him also looking for you.
Right.
So that's why people match up so perfectly, the law of affinity, the law of attraction, the law of, the yo-yo or the what is it called, the mirror effect.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it happens.
I mean, I think a lot of people attract their opposite, too.
Yes, I suppose they do. Yeah. But I had a woman, speaking of, you were saying, like, people ask for, I want a really rich man, blah, blah, blah. And one of the women, I tell her story in there, and she said, that was my error in the last man that I married. She said she'd been married three times. She said, the last man I married, she said, I asked for a rich man, and she said, I found that there was a flaw in a rich man. So she asked for a man that was financially astute, which was very clever. And then she got a perfect man that fit her particular lifestyle and this and that. She fit his, and that was it. But
right.
I was curious. Hmm. Yeah.
And so getting ready is probably incredibly important, where, you really did it. Like you got your hair done.
Yes.
You did everything.
Yes, and even got my clothes ready, got my place ready. Again, many people wait. I'm an action person, so if somebody says, this is a good idea, I do it, But I'll have a lot of, I have a little gallery in La Jolla here, and a lot of people come in and they pick up the book, and they say, I'd love to have a man in my life. But I look at them, and they're disheveled, they're messy, they're, they need to do some things, they need to clean up a little bit, get ready. So you have to get ready as if he's already here, and he's here and he's right outside the door, and you better be ready when you start walking around. Yes.
Right.
If he's looking for you, if you're looking for him, he's looking for you. Get ready.
Yeah. It's a good thing to think about, because typically that's, I know a lot of people that say, I have to lose weight first and I have to do this first. And I know what you're saying, where, if you're anorexic, you wanted to improve on you. And certainly there's a lot of us that have to, love ourselves and accept ourselves for who we are. But at the same time, you also know that if you have an attraction and a pull to somebody, it's not necessarily going to matter whether you're 20 pounds overweight or whatever. I mean, typically, if there's an attraction, it's going to happen. It's not necessarily...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's to your soul.
And one of the other things is, it's interesting. Men are attracted to youth and beauty. Mm-hmm. Women are attracted to power and intelligence. It's like a universal phenomenon. Youth and beauty from the man's point of view, and the other is power and intelligence. So with that in mind, it also behooves a woman to do whatever she can to be as beautiful as she can.
Right.
Whatever age she is or whatever shape she's in.
Right. You know? Yeah. I mean, it's really, you have to care about yourself.
Yes.
I mean, that's the big thing, is that often we're so scarred from our childhood or whatever that, you know, the biggest issue that we have is, you know, acknowledging and accepting ourselves for who we are and loving ourselves.
Yes. I mean, what's not to love? I mean, you're here, you're alive, you've been given life. So obviously you're blessed from the beginning. It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't matter what the situations are, the circumstances. That's the very bottom line. It never changes. You're divine. You've always been divine. You always will be divine. It doesn't matter what happens. And you have to really accept that. A woman recently said to me, she said, as I was leaving, I can't even remember what it was, but all of a sudden, oh, I know, it was an older woman that was in the gallery. She's a lovely person, lovely. She must be 85 years old.
Yeah.
And she, as she left, she said, be blessed. Mm. And I thought, oh, she didn't say bless you. She said, be blessed, which is such a wonderful thought. I mean, if you take that in, if you just accept, be blessed, I mean, you're the one that has to say, be accepting of the fact that you are blessed, you know?
Right.
You're always blessed, but you have to be blessed yourself by accepting that. So it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lovely blessing. That's a lovely
phrase.
Little
motto to live by.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. I write these little things that go into newspapers, these little things called happy musings. And I write, it's a daily feature I do for King Features. And they're little life thoughts. And some of them are just, you know, they just knock me out after I write them down. I look at them and say, oh my gosh, yeah, I could live by that alone. You know? Life includes you in its every thought.
Mm.
That's a great way, you know, the puzzle of life is incomplete without you. Oh,
beautiful.
It's true, though.
It's true.
It is true.
Yeah.
So you must value yourself totally. Fall in love with yourself. That's what the man that I met that was so, you know, the mystic, he said, you have to fall in love with yourself first. Fall in love with yourself first.
I think that's an important step. Because if you can't love yourself, how does somebody else?
Right, yeah. Because in way down at the very essence of us all, we're all one. So you better, love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
you,
nothing you have to do. You don't have to prove anything to have that love.
Right.
Yeah. You screw up. Well, you screwed up. So big deal. Everybody does. Why else we're here? But but you just go on. Love yourself. Love your mistakes. You know.
So you made a ritual and you looked at the letter each night and you imagined yourself together.
And then I thought about our life together. Right.
Right.
I thought about it. You know, what it would be like. And I sent him love from my heart. That's what I did. Just like he's on a trip. You know, that's a little, like a little prayer.
And
you
so
send him love.
You
don't know his name. You don't know what he looks like. But you send him my man. I send him love.
Right. And you said you were in love before you ever met him.
I was in love before I ever met him. And that's why I had these other people that kept falling in love with me, because once you're in love, you attract them. You can't imagine what you attract, you know, on and on.
It's true. I think there are a lot of women out there that are so desperate right now that they're sending out desperation instead of love.
Yes. That's what they received then, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
You'd go about your daily activities and you'd be beaming like you were in love.
Yes, because I was. I was, you know, it's just like he's standing there and you just can't see him yet. And he's the same way now. We've been married for 33 years.
Aww.
And he thanks me every day for being in his life. Oh, my gosh. What a wonderful man. How lucky am I? But there you go.
Right.
You know, that's what I asked for.
Mm-hmm. There's a phrase in there that I think is just beautiful. You said you remain forever grateful to Hallmark for caring enough to send you the very best.
Right. Because he was head of advertising and promotion for Hallmark Cards, and I was always grateful. Now, see, there's the interesting thing. When I was at that period of my life before I'd met him, I had done all these cards. I'd done these little writing, these little books and stuff, and I always thought, well, these would be great with Hallmark or American Greetings or something, and I kept thinking about this and how that would go off, and I'd write little, you know, stories that had these cards and stuff going off. Well, geez, a friend of mine who was where I used to teach tennis, it was head of film for Universal Studios, and he set me up with Marv when Marv came to town for my art. Nice. So there you go. I end up with this man from Hallmark, you know, and doing some cards for Hallmark. And then eventually, at one time, I do a whole line of greeting cards for American Greetings. I mean, I set it up so long ago.
Wow.
It's really funny how those things come into being. And if you look back, I mean, it's not just me. It's everyone's life when you mm-hmm. look back
mm-hmm.
and say, oh, I remember creating that, you know, in my mind.
And you say to pay attention to your inner voice.
Yes, yes. Follow your intuition at all times, please, please, please. And then I would go wherever I was invited. You know, I never knew where this person was going to show up, and but I knew he would.
Right.
And I wasn't looking for him when I was there. I was just in love. I was already in love with him, whatever.
Hmm.
But that's, and then so I would just go, and people would. You know, I'd go to different events that people invite me to and this and that. I never knew.
Right.
But I was always in love. I was already in love before I ever met him.
Hmm. So why don't you tell us about some of the stories that you've been a part of or heard that have been using this...
My particular formula, right, mm-hmm. a long time ago, before I ever wrote the book, and I always thought, oh, I should write the book, because I would be off doing my tennis or doing something when I was playing senior tennis, finally, and to give you an example, there was a wonderful gal who was on the tour when I was on the tour, and then we were both playing senior tennis at one point in the 40s division, and... she's just a darling girl from Texas, and really, you know, she taught tennis in the Bahamas, and she was just great. But she'd never married, and she was complaining at once when she was out in La Jolla for the tournament out here, and she was complaining about this. Oh, Sally, you have a wonderful husband, da 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 da. You know, I said, well, marry. You know, what's the story here? And anyway. So Marv was sitting there, and he's very fond of Mary, and he said, tell Mary about the formula. And so I gave Mary the formula, and so that's when she called up, you know, a few months later and said, you watch Monday Night Football? Yeah, we do. Yeah, yeah. And we'll watch this Monday. And she watched, and indeed they panned up to the box, and there was Mary sitting next to the owner of the Buffalo Bills, Ralph Wilson. And so Mary was with Ralph for a very, you know, long time, and then finally they married. You know, they've been married for quite a while now.
Nice.
But anyway, she was very happy, and she'd passed on the formula to many people herself. Anyway, so that's the kind of thing that would happen. But I passed it on to a lot of people. I never, you know, some people I heard from back and some not. But if worked, it works. You know, if you're sincere.
Where do you think people make the problem? Where do you think?
I think they throw roadblocks. There's a gal that everybody adores at our club where I play tennis, and everybody adores this woman. And she will talk about, yes, she'd love to have the man in her life and this and that, but she won't really do... She won't change. That's it. I mean, if you want something to change in your life, you have to change. And it's as simple. I mean, that only makes sense to me.
The definition of
again, I'm an action person.
Right.
And if a person, you know, she had some sort of lost love that kept coming in and out of her life, she couldn't get rid of this person out of her own consciousness. He wasn't the right person. But if you get stuck in those kinds of things and kind of have a boo-hoo attitude, it doesn't work. But you have to be working, you have to be know that you're working with a spirit all the time, you know, working with the sun, working with light. you're always in light and you're always working. Your heart is always working and your mind is directing and finding the things you really want. So it's a matter of what you really want, you know. You know, where are your priorities? It was very clear that that was my priority, was to have this man in my life at that point.
Right.
And a lot of people, you know, they may just be comfortable enough.
Right.
But it seems silly to waste a life, you know, to not have it the way you really want it emotionally.
Right.
So I say that that's probably where people falter.
Okay.
You know. But also people get stuck on the idea, oh, you're over 40, you know. Ah, the statistics say the blah, blah, blah. I never listened to statistics. I just went for what. I never, because I always felt that there were angels around and there was direction up above that was just zooming me right to where I should be, you know. This is a very funny economy, you know, right now. And yet we're changing our business and this and that and just, you know, wonderful things happening all the time. But I'm always happy, see, because I really think that being happy, which is the same thing as being in love, it's the same vibration.
Sure.
And if you're that, everything is in it. All the opportunities show up. The people you affect, you know, they did a whole study on how a happy person affects, the range a happy person affects. It's huge. It's miles and miles.
Right.
And so you have to be happy. You can't wait until Mr. Right shows up to be happy or to be in love. You have to be in love first.
I think that's an important part. I think that truly is, you know, a piece that most people miss.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to try to take my little happy musings and create apps, you know, for cell phone, for those iPhones and those things.
Right.
With that. And I'm going to call it Lifesavers.
Nice.
Because I do feel that happiness is the ultimate lifesaver. And everything you want is within it, within that vibration. And how to maintain it always. And not just depending upon circumstance, you know, relying on circumstances to have that affect you,
right.
You know, have that result. Because then you're just going from one circumstance to the next.
Right.
And it can't always fall in your favor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're reliant on circumstances, you're very vulnerable.
Definitely.
You rely on yourself. You've got it. And everybody's got it. That's where happiness is. It's all inside anyway.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got these women who don't exactly know what they want. What do you recommend?
Well, they should write down what they want, what they think they want, and write down what they don't want. Then they can write down what they want from what they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's usually
right.
A good place to start.
I had a woman in today. She said, I love your book. I love your book. She said, really had my eye on this man and this and this and this. But she said, I think he might be gay. I said, well, write that down. You don't want a great gay man. You know? This is very simple. Make him straight, you know.
Yeah, that one's simple, yes.
Yeah, right.
You don't want to be responsible trying to change somebody that much.
No. She knew that. She knew that was impossible, so... But anyway, I would say write down what the best you can think of is what you want. But also, you can always go the other way, what you don't want. I don't want this. Okay, then put it in a positive statement. I want that, the opposite of that.
Right, because we all know what we don't want, or typically we've all had the experiences of what we don't want.
Right, right. See, Tiger Woods' wife forgot to put that part down, you know? God,
well, you know... A beautiful woman marries a beautiful man, and he's a powerful man in media. It's a tough one.
It is a tough one
because that's power draws sex appeal. Power draws women. Power,
yes,
you know, it's
yes.
Very, in the sports industry, you know, women throw themselves all over. In the music industry, women throw themselves all over.
Yes.
They
fame
want that
is everything,
power.
Right.
Yeah.
Power, that's power.
That's
yeah.
power. That's that
yeah.
power that you say that we look for.
Yeah, and youth and beauty, see? Mm-hmm. Youth and beauty from the other side, from the other one's side.
Now, there's no way.
Faithfulness is huge.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, oh my gosh.
But Tiger Woods' wife is beautiful. There's no way he could not see her as youthful and beautiful. It's just, it's a tough
one. He
wants
to taste all the bonbons and the box of chocolates, you know.
Well, when they get thrown at you, it's hard not to.
Well, yes, if your values are such. Yeah. But you have to have an ideal, and you have to say, you know, listen, a family and children and this, you know, sexual energy, we need to control it in some way. I mean, people are just crazy these days, and the emphasis on it is huge for young people. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
But you grew up in the 60s. That was the time when free love was everywhere.
right, that's true. But I'm saying there at least was some heart going on with it. Now
point.
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
and it's
point.
pretty hardcore stuff. But when we value, when that is the highest peak of, you know, what we value, it's just insane to think so. It's the lowest realm.
Mm-hmm.
It's the lowest level, mm-hmm. I think.
So that would be another important thing to know about yourself, is what your values are.
Yeah.
And to put that in your sun letter.
Yeah, because probably what you're going to value, what you want is what you are,
mm-hmm.
what you value. Because you have to be willing to, you're the same. You have to be the same. Mm-hmm. If you value faithfulness, you know, then put it down, then you would be faithful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I think, yeah.
Okay, so start with a list of what you don't want if you don't know what you do want. And then learn how to expand that. Learn how to really understand yourself so that you can expand and not just write down a quality, but really, you know, go into what it means to you.
Think about what it means to you. I didn't write all of what it means to me, but you could. I did in this book. I read it because that was my thinking behind those words that I wrote.
Okay.
Because the words have power, and what they mean to me. And I write words and things, and then contemplate that because I hold it up and really contemplate what that means. And that goes deep into me, you know. And that went out in a very powerful way, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But and think about what you really want, what you really don't want, and put it in a positive way. Put it in a positive way, yeah. Because I think people are now really searching. They're really looking to be connected now.
Right. And in a deeper way.
In a deeper way, yes. Mm-hmm. And with the material, our material life sort of falling away, the real values are coming forward, I think. What's important, what's truly important, coming to the surface, and people are looking at it.
Right.
I'm sure people with very difficult situation with young children, and I mean families to support. I mean that's not easy. It's mm-hmm. definitely not easy.
Right. And you said, you know, you've had your bumps.
Oh yeah. You don't come in. You don't swing through this life and without a few crap falls.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you keep the formula, how do you keep it alive? How do you stay so in love?
Well, I'm focused my whole artwork and my writing and everything on being happy. My thing is been focused on happiness. My art is always happy. My galleries are always happy, you know. Jack Canfield came into the gallery a few months back, and he said, "What do people say when they come in here?" And I say that it's bright and happy. And he just smiled and shook his head, and and it's just everything we do is an extension of ourselves. So it comes out that way, you know. So I try to unweight myself so I'm not depressed in any way, so I'm not carrying loads, so I simplify my life, simplify, simplify, and get down to the essentials. get down to what I can handle. And then I'm very, very happy. Hmm. And I stay that way, you know. So, you know, through all kinds of things. I mean, after 33 years of marriage, you go through a lot of different kinds of things, you know.
Absolutely.
My husband had his challenges, so.
Okay.
Physically, so.
Right. So let's, I mean, what do you recommend to these people if they're, you know, in a place of depression or in a space that's not happy? Like, how do you help them, you know, shift that into a different place? How do you help people, you know, get happy?
Well, first of all, you have to realize the importance of it. It is your essence. That state is your essence. And it's absolutely essential to remain in it, because that's your inner life, and you have to feed that and fuel that and find out first, I did a book called The Happy Book. I'm going to redo it and bring it out again because it's out of print now, but we have some. Anyway, you have to really find that state within yourself. And I start, when I was doing a lot of lecturing, I say, state your name and point to yourself. Say, I am. Say this right now yourself. I am, and point to yourself and say your name. I am thus and so, and say that and point to yourself.
Yeah, I am Lori Houston.
Okay. Where did you point?
To my heart.
Right. You didn't point to your physical heart. You point to the heart, the chakra.
Yep,
exactly. Right. You point, it's a universal phenomenon that when you point to yourself, you point there. And that center has a door on it. That chakra has a door on it. So you open and close it. Most people open and close it depending upon circumstances. So they're happy or unhappy, you know, depending upon circumstances. So they open and close that door. Right?
Yep.
And happiness and love are the same vibrations, the same flow of energy. Okay. So you have to know that that's where it comes from, and you have to keep that door open, depending, not being affected by circumstances.
It's hard to do sometimes.
Knowing that everything is in its proper place and is working, and you've put out your requests, and you're working towards things.
Right.
And you remain in that vibration. You could go through, you know, as I say, when I can take it for tennis, because when I used to teach tennis to do this, it's kind of a Zen thing, you know. And you can go through a tennis match and be competitive and worried about whether you're going to win this point or lose this point or win the match or lose the match, whatever. It's a space of time you're out on that tennis court. Now, you can suffer it or you can enjoy yourself. And it's the same thing. You're going to go through certain circumstances. You can suffer them or you can enjoy yourself. And you're going to go through the same circumstances.
Right.
And so the idea is to go through them in a happy state, because in that state, you're always preparing your future. You're always preparing your future. So by sending out that vibration, you're always ahead of the game, and instead of reacting to the circumstances that might be around you.
Right.
Whether you made this sale or didn't make this sale, whether you got the job or didn't get the job, you know. You're the right place, you're in the right place at the right time, and you just keep going. You keep going.
Now, there's a part of you, though, because of the journey you've been on and because of, you know, connecting with a spiritual master when you did, that you have that faith and that trust, and you really have surrendered to that grace.
Yes.
And that is so, for you, it's become a way of life.
Yes. Yes.
How do you help others understand that when they have all these fears that close that door?
That's right. The fears do close the door. The fears do, and you have to give them up. Give them up. They're usually from lack of something. Fear is only a lack of something. It's not something. It's a lack of something. It's a lack of information. It's a lack of understanding. So, you know, the primitive are fearful of this, you know, the animals are fearful because they can't understand, you know, things. So they work on, that's just a kind of an animal level, and you just have to give that up. Give it up and trust. I mean, it's not pleasant to be afraid.
Mm-mm.
So I say give it up. Give it up and go forward. Give it up and go forward and trust life. You could call it life. You could call it spirit. It's like you have to jump in. Jump mm-hmm. in. Jump into love. Jump into life. You know, jump in. Jump into love. Mm-hmm. Fall in. And then just trust it and see and keep going.
And always moving forward.
Yes, always moving forward. Yes, always moving forward. Yes. Yes, keep going. Keep going. We're lucky. We're just blessed to have life, period. Life is great, you know. Life. You've got life. You've got everything. Yeah, it's over it without life. So if you've got life, you know, if you've got your sight, how much would you sell your sight for? Millions of dollars. No, there's no amount. Would you, if you have your hearing, if you have your speech, if you just can breathe, you know? We are all millionaires. We are so rich. And to experience this is very difficult times. They're very difficult times. But in the big picture, certain things have to come about. Certain things have to be released, and new things have to come in because you know, we're evolving. That's it. Mm-hmm. So nothing stays the same, and so the unpleasant things are just here to get rid of the stuff that will eventually take, you know, make room for the good things.
Right.
It may take eons, but so we experience certain periods of these things.
And I think that's an important thing, is that, you know, to create that space, which was one of the things you talked about, you know, that you're making that space. So create a space instead of keeping yourself full of whatever we keep ourselves full of, our fears, our pain, our, you know, our stories.
Everybody's got a story. You know, I mean, everybody's got a story. Everybody's suffered. Everybody's, you know, you get so many deaths, you get so many, you know, births, you get so many friends, you get so many enemies, you get a whole menagerie of stuff and things that are in your life, circumstances. So it's all, everybody's got a story.
It's true.
And it's really wonderful, you know. No two are the same.
That's true too.
Yeah, when I was a child, I would sit in the back of the car and I'd look out the window, you know, and see all these cars going by with all these people. It always made me sad, you know. I'd think, oh my gosh, there's so many people that I'll never get to meet and find out how they are, you know, how they live. So many people that I won't ever get to meet, you know. What
wow.
a funny idea for a child, you know.
That's a funny idea.
Yeah, but it's true, you know.
Wow.
So. Anyway.
So let's go over your list again. Let's go over the list again. So decide what you want.
Yes.
So is
write a letter to the sun.
Write a letter to the sun. And then, like, decide what you want. What, do you want a companion? Do you want a friend? Do you want a lover? Do you want marriage?
A husband?
Do you want, yeah.
What do you want?
What do you want?
Yeah. And how is your life going to be? You know, what are the qualities of this person? Get to the qualities.
And how will your life benefit others? I like that too.
Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, I don't think the angelic hierarchy gives a hoot if you're not going to benefit some people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, benefit anything other than yourself with, you know, it's not a selfish.
Right.
You know.
Well, you have to live your passion. You have to live who you're supposed to be.
Yes.
Although quite often we get caught up in these masks because we're afraid to be authentic because we think we're going to hurt somebody or they're going to leave us or, you know, they won't like us or they won't love us. And so we wear these masks pretending to be somebody else, thinking that they may love us because we're somebody else, and, you know, what we really need is just to be ourselves.
Yeah. I have one of I have these all these things. I wish I could find this one. It's really a good one. This, I have all these sayings and stuff that I've written and become little pieces of gift art and stuff. I have one that's so beautiful that I've always loved. It's not a very popular one, but it's if I could find it. It's love. It's about forgetting the face. Mm. Love the within. Love the heart. And I never can remember them after I write them.
And you channel them, obviously, so it's that's understandable.
Yeah, I don't know. I write them, and I don't know quite how they come about, but it was there. Some of the, my very favorite ones are the ones that are not necessarily the big sellers, but they are important to me, and I think they're the richer ones, mm-hmm. and they're more subtle. Mm-hmm. But Here it is. Yeah. I found it. It says, love the heart, forget the skin, forget the face, forget the form, forget the size and age, forget the way, and way beyond the skin, love the within, love the heart.
Hmm. That's lovely.
It's lovely. I have another one that's just a little gift art piece that says, we are all the way we are for a lot of reasons, and for all those reasons and more, we are worthy of being loved.
Hmm.
You know, we are all that. You can look at the surface stuff and pick and carry on about this and that, but we're all the way we are for a lot of reasons, and for all those reasons and more, we are worthy of being loved. That's a really good one to remember.
Yeah.
You know.
They're beautiful sayings. You're writing these down? Like you're putting them in a book?
Well, I tell you, that a lot of them are on my website under gift art. I want to, as I say, create an app thing for them.
Oh, right.
To a lot of them. I do this feature for King Features, which I've now done over 1,000.
Nice.
Yeah, so, and it's really fun to kind of go through it. And I do a little blog on my website, which we're eventually going to turn into just a blog. And on that, I have a lot of the little thoughts, and then I will put a little essay that goes with it, or a little, I don't know, page or so of information about it, you know,
mm-hmm.
when I get to writing stuff. So, anyway, mm-hmm. that's probably, and then I do a lot of children's books, too.
Mm.
I've written a lot of, you know, only a few have been published, 5 or something, but those I will now, when I have some more time, I will create those and do some illustration and then put them and be able to put them digitally instead of having to go after a publisher, because it's very, you know, it's very hard for publishers now to add on another author or illustrator.
Well, there certainly are, you know, a lot out there, and I think a lot of people have something to say, and I think it's important time for a lot of people to get, you know, their words out and their work out. It's just an interesting time because there's so much out there, and I guess you're attracted to, you know, what you need to hear at the time.
Yes, but I think it's a great, you know, being able to use the internet in the way that you can create these sites and this information and letting people publish their own stuff and make it downloadable stuff or whatever it is. It's fantastic, you know, because so many people have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the last part of this would be to be in love now and not to wait.
Yes,
what would you
saying. You got to know where you are. Be in love now.
Yeah. What would you recommend to people during this holiday season when it's, you know, can be a very lonely time?
Boy, my husband's very big on counting blessings.
Hmm.
He loves that. You know, anytime things are difficult or anything, just stop and count your blessings. On and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Not comparing what you have to anybody else's or any of that stuff, but just your own blessings. And the ones you have right now, not being sad about, oh, you know, how it was when I was younger and, you know, So I work in around a group that's sales of art, and nice. Oh my gosh, I used to sell so much. Forget it. You know, this is what it is right now.
Yeah.
You know, this is how it is right now.
From doing this interview, from talking to you, it really seems that you live from a place of gratitude. I mean, everything you've said about your happiness, about acting like you are in love, being in love just with life, not necessarily with someone else. It seems that you embody that grace and gratitude.
Yes, gratitude. Oh my gosh. Yeah, be blessed. That woman's line, be blessed, is a great line.
Mm-hmm. It is, truly. Well, this has been a delight. I think you just have a great energy about you. You certainly embody everything that you're talking about. And I think it's just wonderful that you're living the life you dream about.
Yes. I've enjoyed it very much. Thank you so much.
Let people know how they can get a hold of you.
Oh, yes. www.sallyhuss.com. Sally Huss, and that's H-U-S-S.
Perfect.
H-U-S as in Sam, S as in Sam. And my books online and a couple of other things, and our products and art and various things.
Wonderful.
Great. Thank you, Lori.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Enjoy your evening.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.